Welcome to the Bill Barnwell Show. I am Bill Barnwell on ESPN. I'm going to be joined by my friend Chris Sproul. We're going to be recapping our preseason player props. A lot of bets that might have seemed logical at the time didn't quite seem so normal as the season went on. We're going to talk about those, but first, guys, hiring is challenging. There's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. And growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. Cafe Altura's COO, Dylan Meskowitz, experienced how challenging hiring can be after unsuccessfully searching for a director of coffee for his organic coffee company. But then he switched to ZipRecruiter, and he saw an immediate difference. And you can too by signing up for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Barnwell. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. And its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job, so you get qualified candidates faster. In fact, after posting his job to ZipRecruiter, Dylan said he was amazed by how quickly great candidates were applying, and he found his director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes by trying ZipRecruiter for free at our web address. It's ZipRecruiter.com/Barnwell. That's my last name. B-A-R-N-W-E-L-L. ZipRecruiter.com/Barnwell. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
We are here today after the Super Bowl, quiet time in the NFL. We are taking a look back today. Every year before the season, my friend Chris Sproul and I here at ESPN, we invent our own player props and then make picks on those props heading into the season. And every year, of course, as you might expect, after the year, we go back and look back at those props to try and figure out what we were thinking 6 months earlier. And it's been a very topsy-turvy. There's been a lot of upheaval in the NFL this season. And what we saw happening a few months ago may not necessarily be what actually happened when things turned out. So joining me to discuss those props and what happened during the 2019 NFL season is senior editor?
One of those.
Editor at ESPN, Chris Sproul. Mr. Sproul, how are you?
Good. I'm actually looking at some of our preseason props, and I'm going to give us credit because I can decipher some of these. In years past, it's taken upwards of a couple hours to decipher some of our like cross-sport props. I see we have an Odell versus Christian Pulisic one in here. That goes back to the old times, but yeah, this is good. There's some talkers in here.
You want to start with Odell and Christian Pulisic?
Yeah, let's do it. Go. You read them off in your official status.
As the host, I will read them off. So our first prop bet, and this one is pretty easy to understand. We'll get this one. If you're not familiar with prop bets or with betting, this is one of the simpler ones. It's Odell Beckham touchdown catches in the 2019 NFL season -1.5 Christian Pulisic goals. So the spread here is 1.5. I'm assuming this is Premier League goals only.
Yeah, not all competitions.
Yeah, I mean, we can't give him credit for scoring goals in friendlies or against the dregs of the Champions League. But Odell Beckham touchdown catches -1.5 Christian Pulisic goals means the spread is 1.5. So if Odell Beckham scores 7 receiving touchdowns in a season and Christian Pulisic scores 5 Premier League goals, 7 is more than 5 by 2. 2 is more than 1.5. So Odell Beckham would cover the spread. Basically, Christian Pulisic gets a 1.5 goal/touchdown advantage from when the moment the season begins. And as it turns out this year, Chris Sproul, Odell Beckham did not have a great season.
No, he did not.
He did not get benched for a chunk of the first half of the year like Christian Pulisic did, but Odell Beckham scored 4 receiving touchdowns in 2019. Christian Pulisic won this bet in one match, when he scored a hat trick to the excitement of everybody on American soccer Twitter. But Christian Pulisic won this side of the bet. And to your credit, Mr. Sproul, you chose the American soccer star as opposed to the former American soccer star in Odell Beckham.
I'm trying to remember. I think I said I thought he could get 6 or 7 goals, which was too bullish. But I think really this came down to Odell hitting 4 touchdowns when I think we guessed 8 or 9.
Oh, sure.
And I was a little, we thought Odell would be, you know, Odell only once in his career, as you would assume, has fewer than 4 touchdowns. That was in 2017 when he played 3 games.
Yeah.
So, anything from Odell's history says that this guy's probably going to bottom out at 7 or 8 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So the bet was a little bit, in my excitement, bullish on Christian Pulisic, but somehow it hit. But really, we can say with, you know, authority here, this is just more of a statement on Odell's dreadful season.
Yeah, I mean, Odell Beckham averages 12 touchdowns per 16 games before this year.
Yeah.
8.8 touchdowns per year, even with that 3-game season. So, I mean, realistically, this was a wildly disappointing season, which is something we don't need to tell you about Odell Beckham's 2019. We know touchdown rate can be pretty inconsistent from year to year, as Alvin Kamara would tell you. But, you know, Pulisic, I mean, I think, you know, off to a good start, certainly.
Weird start.
He got benched for a month and a half and then came back and was in the side every match and playing very well and contributing consistently. So I'm excited about that. Odell Beckham, you know, the future seems to be murky. I have to imagine he'll be back with the Browns in 2020, but who knows what's going to happen with the Browns. There's always question marks when it comes to the Cleveland Browns and what the decisions they make.
The funny thing about this is we could probably take this exact same prop and put it out there again in August of 2020, and I don't know if we would write it differently. You would absolutely expect Odell to jump back up, hopefully with a, you know, with a positive regression for Mr. Baker Mayfield, and Christian Pulisic's just fine.
Yeah. Let's move on to a bet that we both hit. Excitedly.
All right.
And another Browns-related bet here. Of course, the Browns, I know it seems like a long time ago, but before the year, the Browns were a team that people were actually excited about. There was lots of optimism and hype surrounding the Cleveland Browns, and we made a wager on Patrick Mahomes' touchdown passes minus 1.5 Baker Mayfield touchdown passes. This was a line that I think if you looked at their numbers from 2018, you would have been pretty shocked by. But we know touchdown rate typically tends to regress towards the mean. Patrick Mahomes was not going to throw 50 touchdowns again in 2019. But then even with an injury to Patrick Mahomes, and with Baker Mayfield playing the full 16-game slate, this line ended pretty close. But Patrick Mahomes threw 26 passing touchdowns. Baker Mayfield threw 22. So Patrick Mahomes minus 1.5. Covered the spread.
You know, I'm trying to remember the conversation, but I think you and I settled that Patrick Mahomes' ballpark was going to throw more between 34 and 38 touchdowns. Sure. And Baker, we actually, I think we felt that there was a lot of people, if you guys recall, that Baker's touchdown total, I think it was settling around 30.
He was at 27 in 13 starts last year.
Yeah, but so the number, I think some of the props numbers you could have find was settled around 30. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of people that thought that we were selling Baker short, which maybe they don't understand how books work. But secondly, it's really hard to overstate the optimism for that offense in particular. Mm-hmm. You know, Baker, it's not long ago, it's 6-7 months ago that we were talking about how Baker had the most impressive, arguably one of the most impressive rookie seasons ever for a quarterback, had tied Peyton Manning's touchdown record for a rookie quarterback. I mean, it was all there, but yeah, it hit. I will say the one thing that stands out to me, and I mentioned to you the other day, Tom Brady threw 50 touchdowns in 2007. He was obviously hurt, but his next season back, he threw 28 touchdowns.
Wow.
And Baker Mayfield throws 50 touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes throws 50 touchdowns in his next season back. Though he did get dinged up, throws only 26. So regression is real, and now Patrick Mahomes needs to get back to his Brady-like status.
At least he didn't tear his ACL.
No.
That was a small
victory. He didn't get chemo Van Olhoffened.
He did not get Van Olhoffened.
Yes.
Another Patriots one here. You talked about Tom Brady. Let's talk about a bet that turned out to be all zeros, unexpectedly, but ended up being a victory for me. Patriots playoff victories, minus a half. Rob Gronkowski games played. So you had the opportunity to have a few different opinions here. You could bet that the Patriots would not win any playoff games, which again seemed very unlikely for a team that had advanced out of the wild card round every year since 2009. You could bet that Rob Gronkowski would come back, which, you know, certainly seemed like it was a significant possibility for a guy who I don't really know what he does besides play football and go to the club. There's two things he does.
CBD.
CBD.
Digging the CBD.
He is a big CBD person now.
Yeah.
But you could possibly figure that both would happen and that having Rob Gronkowski come back would help the Patriots win playoff games. And we ended up with a nil-nil draw. The Patriots, of course, did not win any playoff games, losing to the Tennessee Titans in the first round of the NFL playoffs. But Rob Gronkowski did not come back. So 0 - 0.5 means that Rob Gronkowski games played won this bet.
Barnwell gets the square. I was certain, well, I was betting that the Patriots would get their one playoff game win, which is kind of an annual minimum for them. Mm-hmm. And I was pretty certain Rob Gronkowski wasn't going to come back. And I was wrong because Tennessee took them out.
Yes. Took them out in a game where they could barely move the ball on offense,
right,
which was quite the sight to see.
And a testament to Rob Gronkowski's talent.
I think his Hall of Fame case has grown.
This season's Patriots.
Right. Like, I think it was already strong. He already was, to me, a lock to go to the Hall of Fame. But after this, if he came back tomorrow and said, hey, Bill Belichick, you need to pay me $25 million a year to come back for the Patriots, I think he might have a case to get it.
Sorry, McCourty. It is a testament to Gronk, though, Bill, because he basically is the reason that they have a single touchdown in a Super Bowl. Yes, they probably would have won otherwise, 6-3. What a shootout. And then he doesn't play this year. And again, they go back to the playoffs, and that offense looked like the Super Bowl offense minus Gronk, which is not a good offense.
Yeah, I absolutely think that I think they still win against the Rams, but it's a lot closer without Gronk playing at a high level. And you know, we've seen in the past they've lost Super Bowls where Gronk was unable to play. That Giants one where he was playing through a high ankle sprain as a recent example. One more Tom Brady bet here in the bunch. This is called Aging Goats. Tom Brady touchdown passes -4.5. LeBron James PER, which is the John Hollinger stat player efficiency rating, which you can find on ESPN player cards for NBA players. Tom Brady finished the season with just 24 touchdown passes. And at the time we record this podcast, LeBron James has a PER of 26.3, meaning he wins this bet outright. A victory for both of us.
Yeah, I think we were pretty soundly, you know, we're on the Brady regression train, and then we're certainly on LeBron bounce back, and we've seen it both.
Yeah.
We should just be talking about NBA.
We should just do an NBA prop podcast.
Yeah.
I'm still surprised that Tom Brady fell off to the extent he did this year. I mean, he looked great for the first 3 weeks of the year, and then, you know, as someone who wrote a piece about someone possibly falling off a cliff before the season and wrote it about Drew Brees, where, granted, I did say that Drew Brees was not falling off the cliff, but I said it's a possibility. Tom Brady is the one who seemingly fell off the cliff this year as opposed to Mr. Brees, and Philip Rivers might be the second choice there.
Yeah, I mean, Brady, perhaps not unlike LeBron in the sense you can see he is at a point in his career where the lack of help really, really, really took something away from him. And, you just get to a point where you can't transcend. You can't transcend the parts around you, which was something we felt Manning could do for years and Brady could do for years. I mean, look at some of the Super Bowl MVPs that have been on this team. But yeah, I don't know.
Right. I mean, I don't think he's a bad player by any means, but I think certainly, he was dragged down by the middling offensive line and lack of weapons in a way that maybe in years past he would have been able to transcend. Maybe the 2006 Tom Brady who nearly made it to the Super Bowl with Rashay Caldwell and Doug Gabriel and a broken down Corey Dillon as his primary options.
Ben Coates still lumbering around
Ben
somewhere?
Ben Coates was not on the team
in
2006. That's nonsense, Ben Coates.
Hey, Kevin Faulk was, though.
Kevin Faulk was. Jermaine Wiggins would have been available if they had given him a call, but Ben Coates retired in 2000. That'd be a good prop bet. Do you think if we did a bet on number of passes Ben Coates caught from Tom Brady, you'd probably have the bet at like 4.5. Like, you'd figure he probably caught a few, but they never actually crossed.
Was David Givens in the ballpark there?
David Givens, I think, was he injured at that point?
I don't know.
That was after he went to Tennessee.
Down
the rabbit hole. We'll save that for
The record, I knew Ben Coates wasn't there. I just wanted to bring up an aging Pats tight end, and that was the best I could do.
I did not. I figured Ben Coates was on the 2001 team, but I would have been wrong. Let's talk about another AFC East team here. Let's talk about the Buffalo Bills and a cumulative prop bet here, which I think we both lost, surprisingly. I thought we were on the right side here.
Possible.
Wins by New York State football teams. So those are teams that are either actually based in New York State, like the Buffalo Bills, or teams that call New York State home, even if they're actually in New Jersey, like the Giants and Jets. -2.5, the most wins by any Major League Baseball pitcher this season. I think at the time we recorded it, Justin Verlander was tied for first. I think he had 16 wins when we recorded that back, I believe, at the end of July or early August, maybe middle of August. But Verlander finished with 21 wins. Pretty impressive. And thanks to some subpar performances by the Giants and Jets, which the Bills tried to make up for but did not necessarily make up for all the way, the three New York teams also finished with 21 wins. So the MLB pitcher +2.5 prop came in.
This is really more about Justin Verlander. I really thought maybe they would save him a little bit down the stretch, but Justin Verlander wants to be Nolan Ryan. True story. Bill, the guy has 225 wins in the year 2020. He could get to 300 miraculously because he's certainly perked back up. But yeah, come on, Giants, help us out here.
I think the good news is that nothing untoward is happening with the Astros, and there's no reason to think they might decline in the years to come.
Not at all.
They are just a bastion of friendliness and merit-based success. Nothing against Justin Verlander, but...
And very high batting average on balls in play on change-ups, mysteriously.
With significant garbage can investiture relative to other Major League Baseball teams. Can I ask you a prop bet here? Within the next 30 years, over under a half for garbage cans in the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown.
We got to get one in.
We got to put one in.
I want to go see it. Or they could have the Epcot Center World of Tomorrow, like somebody clanging it, little robot arm. That would be great.
I just went to the LBJ Museum in Austin, Texas, Library, I should say. And they have an animatronic LBJ telling jokes, a full-size animatronic LBJ. I would love that with Alex Bregman, just an animatronic Bregman hitting a garbage can.
You know, they're building a library for Robert Caro's letters. I don't want to get too far off here, but look it up.
You should save it for your Robert Caro podcast, which is 13 hours long.
Episode. And that's just on LBJ 1962.
We will finish with one more prop bet here before the break. Let's go with a bet between Jaguars quarterbacks, past and present, that we both actually hit on.
Crushed it.
Nick Foles, games played, -10.5. Blake Bortles, touchdown passes. So we were betting on Nick Foles maybe getting injured. We were betting on Blake Bortles contributing or not contributing to the Los Angeles Rams, which, again, that seemed incredibly outlandish before the year that Blake Bortles would play. I believe I actually, on a podcast with Mina Kayan, suggested the only way Blake Bortles would play would be if Jared Goff got mono, which, incredible prediction, just slightly off.
Just the wrong team.
Slightly off for 2019. But Nick Foles played 4 games for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He got injured, and Blake Bortles, I believe, took one snap, but I don't know if he threw a pass, but certainly did not throw a touchdown pass for the Rams in 2019. So Foles 4, Bortles 0 with the spread at 10.5. Nick Foles is in the negative category, and Blake Bortles, with 0 touchdown passes, wins this side of the prop.
This is all kinds of great because, I mean, honestly, it's close to my heart. Minshew magic was unleashed.
Sure.
We have a situation where Blake Bortles, who was so excited about the coaching, got to spend all the time with the coaches, so he's getting the best coaching of his life. I would imagine if he plays next year, he'll be astonishingly good after all that great coaching. And we're getting to a point here where if Minshew can start all his games and they have nothing to do with Foles' contract, where the Jags, I think, will have given the first $10 million per start quarterback contract in history. Well, $10 million plus, Bill.
Yeah.
This is just exciting.
Do you think that the Jacksonville Jaguars will eat much of the Nick Foles contract and trade him back to the Philadelphia Eagles? Is it just destined to happen?
I don't know. I just want somebody to trade for that contract. I just want it to happen.
How much would it take?
I don't know. It would take all the picks the Houston Texans don't have to get that contract. I don't know. I mean, it's or the Jags would have to give them away. I mean, it's something else.
It's over $15 million in base salary guaranteed in 2020.
And it's the dead money, man.
And then a $5.5 million roster bonus in 2021. what a deal for a player who reportedly needed to get paid more money than the market would have bore, strictly so he could be a leader in the Jaguars locker room.
You know how coaches, like a team will lose a game and the coach who's too over the top with his motivational tactics will like take the football from that game and bury it in a ceremony so the team can start over. I feel like the Cons are going to have to bury Nick Foles' contract just so the Jags can kind of wipe slate that period of their lives.
All right, we'll get back to talking about these player props with Chris in a moment. But first, guys, hiring is challenging. There's one place, though, you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. And growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. Codable co-founder Gretchen Huebner experienced how challenging hiring can be after unsuccessfully searching for a new game artist to grow with her education tech company. But then she switched to ZipRecruiter and saw an immediate difference. And you can, too, by signing up for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Barnwell. Because ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. And by using ZipRecruiter's screening questions to filter candidates, Gretchen found it easier to focus on the best one. Then she found the right one. In fact, after posting her job on ZipRecruiter, Gretchen said she was honestly surprised she found qualified applicants so quickly. She hired a new game artist in less than 2 weeks. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And you can see why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes by trying ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Barnwell. That's my last name, B-A-R-N-W-E-L-L, ZipRecruiter.com/Barnwell. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Now back to the show with Chris Brow.
Let's do a 3-part quarterback one, which went well for some quarterbacks, not so well for others. We asked about the run expected points added, EPA, for Josh Allen, Mitch Trubisky, and Kyler Murray. The prop was Allen plus Trubisky minus 19.5 Kyler Murray's run EPA. So it was basically 2-on-1 with a 19.5 point spread. As you may have noticed this year, Mitchell Trubisky decided that he was going to be a pocket passer, stopped running the football, and it's not go well for him, the Bears, or the side of the prop. Allen and Trubisky combined for 12.1 expected points added. Kyler Murray on his own, 13.4 expected points added. He wins the bet outright with the spread. It's a massacre.
Devastated by this one. But you know what? I will say, as much as I was... I never will truly believe that Biscuit can get away from running and that being the greatest source of his EPA. I'm actually really impressed that Kyler Murray at 13.4 run EPA is actually so low this year as a rookie. It's kind of a reminder just how much time this guy spent in the pocket, extending the play, trying to throw the ball as opposed to running. I mean, the guy... You know, his running EPA is lower than Watson's, lower than Mahomes. So really auspicious stuff from Kyler Murray is what I take away from this, despite losing the bet.
No, you won the bet.
Oh, wait.
I think I bolded the wrong one here.
You bolded the wrong one.
You had Kyler plus 19.5. I had Allen and Trubisky.
Well, every bit of analysis I just said remains.
Dice.
And I'm still quite impressed by Kyler's... relatively high run EPA for a quarterback broadly, but I thought he would be much more reliant on his legs in his rookie year.
Yeah, and I think the Cardinals deserve a lot of credit for building a run scheme that worked within the air raid concept.
All the conversation was about Kingsbury unleashing, you know, Kyler Murray. They ran the ball really well. He didn't run the ball a ton. I mean,
he was effective when he did.
Yeah.
And I think Sean Kugler, who was the offensive line coach there, who had been in Denver, built an effective running game. And Cliff Kingsbury, a guy who, again, you'd figure they want to throw the ball a billion times. They want to play super fast. As the year went on and as they were struggling, went with more tight ends, went with more of a running game, and used Murray on occasion as a designed runner, and it worked out really well for everyone involved. So
Speaking of burying things, this is another one about how effective this team with Kyler Murray and Kugler and Kingsbury were running the ball is a further reason to bury college offense versus pro-style offense tropes, which are just a blight on all conversations around football.
Yes. But what did Rex Ryan say about it at the beginning of the year? Stupid offense? It wasn't stupid.
We should have had him to mediate this podcast.
Still available, as far as I know.
Yes.
Another quarterback who I think we talked about quite a bit heading into the year, so we weren't both a big fan of, had a great season. Russell Wilson, interceptions, -7.5. The interceptions racked up by Earl Thomas. So a Seahawks versus former Seahawks bat. Russell Wilson, a fantastic season. Russ, -7.5. Russ had 5 interceptions. So Earl, unless he had negative interceptions, could not have won this bet. And Earl had 2 picks himself. So Earl did not cover, or Russell did not cover the spread, which gives you another victory. As you chose Earl Thomas, I chose Russell Wilson.
I was lucky, though, because I think I recall saying, just given Earl's history, he would run into 3. He didn't, you know, he actually, you know, you said he ended up with 2. I would have thought, given the relative success of that defense and Earl staying healthy this season, which is really the best story, that he might get 5 or 6 just because of the type of player he is. But yeah, it's really a case of Russ, remarkably, that many picks is actually a lot for Russell Wilson, which is just such a testament to him.
Right. I mean, he posted one of the league's lowest interception rates in 2019. Again, picked off 5 times on 516 pass attempts, an interception rate just under 1%, which is pretty unprecedented for a quarterback, especially one who throws deep as frequently as Russell Wilson does. So another reminder that Russell Wilson is, in fact, really good at football.
Yeah, it's funny looking at this, and it's remarkable that, hey, it's, you know, hey, that Earl's healthy, that's great, but Russ is just, he's created a baseline for himself. It's just really remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, the 13th best interception rate for any quarterback in the history of the National Football League this season. So, would have liked to have won that one. Sadly, I did not. One we both lost. One that I think we're both a little surprised by. We had number of teams to return to the NCAA playoff -0.5. The number of teams to return to the NFL Conference Championship game. And by the end of the wild card round, this one had already been decided. 2 teams, Clemson and Oklahoma. Oklahoma, granted, barely returned to the NCAA playoff. They were quickly and summarily dismissed. But Clemson and Oklahoma returned to the NCAA Final Four. And 3 of the 4 teams from last year's conference championships, the Patriots, the Saints, and the Rams, were all eliminated from the playoffs before the wild card round was finished. So the Patriots and Saints lost as pretty reasonable favorites in the wild card round. The Rams did not even make it that far. Thank you, 5 teams most likely to regress column.
Yes.
But a bit of a surprise. I think you would figure that, you know, when you look at those teams heading into the year, they were still pretty significant favorites to make it back to the conference championships.
I honestly, because you haven't written this yet, so, but what is just, I mean, 1 of 8, you know, teams making it back to this place in the NFL, like, it's remarkable parity. And yes, things have to go wrong for some teams for that to happen. The Saints have to be unexpectedly, even if the Saints win, we're talking about only a quarter of the final 8 teams. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know. I'm interested to know what you make of it, because it is just stunning the degree to which we cannot get out an NFL schedule and start circling WLWL and being right. I mean, the way the season ended with the Patriots losing at home to the Dolphins, the tanking Dolphins of the preseason lore, and losing that wild card break, losing that game. I mean, and now we're down to 1 of 8 teams. It's just stunning.
I mean, it's not even from one season to another. Week 2, the Patriots beat the Dolphins 43-0.
Yeah.
They were a joke. I mean, it was like, you know, if you had told me after week 2, the Dolphins are going to beat the Patriots in week 17, Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to look better than Tom Brady, and neither of those things would be particularly surprising.
Right.
I would have been fired from ESPN.com for making such a suggestion.
And maybe suspended.
Maybe suspended. But that's exactly what happened.
It really is remarkable. I mean, you've done it before. You know, you've written about teams like, you know, one of the Carolina Panthers teams under Ron Rivera that literally started 1-7 and made the playoffs, how these teams can have these dramatic changes within seasons. But this season is such a reminder. And again, I mean, there's some teams right now that you're already circling regression one way or the other. You know, we have one of the teams left that, you know, Pythagorean, it's like a 9-win team, and I think they're a 13-win team. So it's fascinating, but it's quite a remarkable season in that respect.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. One bet I won, but I'm pleased to say I won. This was a bet of several star pass rushers.
Devastating.
The Bosa brothers, Nick Bosa and Joey Bosa, very talented, but known for their injuries. Nick Bosa missed most of his chunk of his rookie season, missed most of 2018. Sorry, Joey Bosa missed most of his rookie season, most of 2018. Nick Bosa, I think at the time we recorded this, was struggling with, I believe, a hamstring injury.
Mm-hmm.
So Bosa brothers sacks -5.5. These sacks recorded by one Myles Garrett. And I think you can probably guess where this one went. The Bosas hit 20.5 combined sacks. Joey had 11.5. Nick had 9. They both were Defensive Player of the Year candidates, two of the best pass rushers in football. Myles Garrett was at 10 and then hit Mason Rudolph over the head with a helmet, which I think pushed this bet towards my side.
As Myles Garrett's attorney, and he was clearly defending himself in that situation, he was pacing to win me this bet, pacing for 16 sacks, Bill, maybe 15, maybe 17. This is really devastating. But
it hurts.
It hurts. I really liked Garrett. And but by the way, this also speaks to how brilliant Nick Bosa was as a rookie, because again, we were talking about and the way the season turned, we were talking about, oh, it's a Bosa with a hamstring in August. He was absolutely dominant in some games. He probably based on knockdowns, I don't know what you have him at for knockdowns. He probably is a guy where you could say, you know what, he easily could have had 15 sacks. There were a couple of situations that were definitely with that defensive line race to the quarterback types.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, I just take away from this three brilliant players. And again, as Myles Garrett's attorney, I mean, the guy's just defending himself, Bill, obviously. I'm kidding. But
kidding.
What a great player. I honestly also do hope that we can do this again next year. I kind of hope that we close the door on this. Myles has another meeting with the league and we're all healthy in week one, out on the football field, maybe playing each other.
Would you run this bet back next year?
Well, the scary thing about this one is, I mean, I'm like to assume Garrett, I think he'll still only be 23, great, young, obviously will be healthy player. I mean, I still put him in there between 14 and 16 sacks, which is a really high total. It's tough too because Nick looks like he's going to be in that same category. So
what would you set the line at for 2020 if they're all healthy and available week one?
Bosa's probably, even with some injury in there, maybe 22.5, 23.5. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's crazy.
So you'd set it at Bosa brothers maybe -6.5,
might
or minus
be 6.5. Yeah,
I think you might get some action. Might get some action at that line. I will say.
Next year, what we have to do is Bosa brothers versus Garrett and Chase Young.
Chase Young.
Yeah. So it's like an Ohio State versus Garrett type of a deal. Yes.
The honorary Garrett brother, Chase Young.
Yes.
The final one here that we actually finished, we have two props left, one of which we can't actually pursue yet because at the time we're recording this, Dak Prescott has not signed his contract extension. There was a Dak average annual value versus Dak total touchdowns bet.
Well, let's do this one. Dak's preseason AAV projection versus Dak's current AAV projection, because Dak bet on himself and he bet well.
I think he's going to do just fine.
Yes.
When he signs that contract, especially if he waits for Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes to sign their own deals.
Right.
Turns out it's okay to wait if you're a quarterback. You're going to do fine typically, unless you're maybe Josh Freeman. I think it's the one example I can think of otherwise. But finishing up here, I love this line. I think I did a really good job on this one.
It's really good. Caesars needs to call you and get you in the room and be sitting making the books.
Lamar Jackson carries -29.5 the combined rush attempts, including kneel downs, of every quarterback who takes a single snap in the AFC West this season. And just in case you are wondering, I do have the numbers here, broken down quarterback by quarterback. Patrick Mahomes, 43 rush attempts. Matt Moore had 5. Drew Lock had 18. I think Drew Lock not getting the job until late in the year really helped me out here.
He's feisty out there.
He's feisty. Drew Lock, 18. Joe Flacco, 12. Brandon Allen, 10. Derek Carr, 27. Mike Glennon, somehow, 2. Inexplicably, for a guy who did not start a game, I don't think he even attempted very many passes this year, Mike Glennon. He threw 10 passes and had 2 rush attempts. That is crazy.
I like to think that they just brought in Glennon to run.
Yeah, Mike, he's strictly the kneel-down guy. Strongest knees in the game, Mike Glennon. Philip Rivers, 12. Tyrod Taylor, 10. It all adds up to 139. Lamar Jackson had 176 rush attempts this season. So Lamar Jackson carries minus 29.5. Just covers this bet. It's a victory for me and a loss for you, Mr. Sproul.
The two things that stick out to me is knock on wood, he's healthy. He's the MVP. He's absolutely brilliant. I am shocked at the number of attempts that Lamar Jackson had. I don't recall exactly. He had 176. I was thinking, they need to slow it down, get him closer to 100. Mm-hmm. But again, I could say, they're putting this guy in danger, but he's been really good at protecting himself. He's taken some pops, but he's also watched some Russell Wilson, who's just brilliant at stealing yards and protecting himself. And this season, in a weird way, you could go both ways, Bill. You could see 176 carries and say, this portends really poorly for Lamar Jackson's future. Mm-hmm. But if you watched and categorized those 176 runs, and I think you have. You've written about
literally.
It. You're saying, oh my gosh, this guy gets how to protect himself and how to stay in this league. And yes, he'll probably evolve and that 176 hopefully becomes 120 and the passing isn't lost. But it's fascinating because, Bill Regression Barnwell, like, you could go both ways on this depending on how you're seeing the number versus seeing the tape.
Yeah. I mean, he averaged 17 rushes per game last year as a starter. That was going to be unsustainable.
Yeah.
I think that would have been tough to keep up. And now he's only played 15 games. He sat out week 17. So about 11.
Yeah.
It's a lot more sustainable. And I can tell you, having watched every Lamar Jackson run this year more than once, there was one hit this year where I was like, oof, that was a bad one. And it was week 16. He made it all year without taking one really significant hit until the final week he played all year, at which point he was already the league MVP. So I think this is a very smart player. It's someone who I think the Ravens are very good about working with him on protecting himself. He's great at getting out of bounds in situations where you don't think he's going to get out of bounds. Even on most of those runs, I would say on the majority of those runs, he's either running out of bounds on his own or he's taking a very light hit as he goes out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is sustainable. I think last year the workload, if you'd asked me, I think even given the same things I'm saying, just the sheer workload would have made it not sustainable. Now, in years to come, they're probably not going to be a 14-win team, which means more throwing and less running. So I think that could end up with him sort of producing that sort of natural drop in rush attempts that you're sort of projecting here. But I think he is, this formula, this version of Lamar Jackson, given every hit I saw him take this year, could absolutely do this for the next 5, 6, 7 years without a problem.
Absolutely. And the other thing I think is that it's a guy that's going to start to see more before the snap, which is more, that's going to influence his passing. That's going to be more passing plays. And I think also on, it's probably overstated just, he's running off RPOs. He's running in all kinds of ways. But in RPOs, I think he's going to become better and more calculated in the way that Russell Wilson has now. Russell entering, I think, his age 31 season, where you're not seeing a lack of juice in his ability to run the ball, but you're seeing a guy that just so rarely takes a hit. And without belaboring, it also speaks to the narrative of where is a quarterback dangerous, running out of bounds or in the pocket? One time I've ever seen Tom Brady taken off a field, he was just standing perfectly in the pocket, and guys get hurt in the pocket.
Sure. I think we, the hits outside the pocket seem almost like you could just knock you out of the pocket and you can move. Like I think there's that idea that, oh, if you're standing in the pocket, something happens to you. But if you're running outside the pocket, it's your fault almost, which we're seeing a little bit with Carson Wentz, where he's getting blamed for some of the hits he's taken and some of the injuries he's had, which I don't think is fair, to be honest with you. I think, you know, he has suffered injuries, but I don't think they're his fault or something he's doing wrong. And, you know, if Lamar Jackson got hurt, I would sit here and tell you the same thing. I don't think it's been a case where he has put himself in danger, and I'm obviously hoping he stays healthy for a long time.
You know, I'm also just shocked that Phillip Rivers had 12 carries. That's about 11 too many.
I did see him run at least once. I think a lot of those were kneel downs, but I did see him run for, I think, like 8 yards. Pretty sure I tweeted his max speed was like something that if you saw someone running that max speed at the gym on your treadmill, like on a treadmill, you would be like, why is this person running so fast at the gym?
Why is the next gen dot not moving? Yes.
So all together, we finished 6-6. We won half of our bets.
Wow.
With the no vague option at the Barnwell Sprouse Sportsbook, it was a even push.
And even though I spent 5 minutes in this podcast explaining away a loss, it was actually my win.
Yes.
Just remember that part in terms of how well I bet these.
6-6, a solid performance by both. Maybe we both would have had the touchdown side of the Dak bet, which how many touchdowns did Dak have this year? He threw quite a bit. He threw 30 touchdowns, which, hey, I think the money side might cover it.
The money side probably would have covered it.
Even with the 2.5-point spread. So
put it this way. If Jerry was willing to pay the money Dak's been asking for all along, it would have covered it, and now he has to.
Now
he
has to.
So Dak wins.
Until the Cowboys promote Cooper Rush to be the starting quarterback in 2020. We will get to our Cooper Rush prop bets in the months to come in advance of the 2020 NFL season. But until then, Chris Sprouse, thanks so much for hopping on the show.
Prop spectacular. We'll never miss it.
All right. Thanks so much again to Chris Sprouse of ESPN about talking about our player props. I will be back next week. We're going to be talking about more of the NFL offseason. Certainly a lot of exciting stuff still to come. Franchise tags, possible movement of Tom Brady somewhere else. A lot to check out in the weeks to come. So thanks so much for listening, and more audio coming next week.